If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green 19 podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined, as always, by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. Guys, good to see you. Long time no see. Mm-hmm. We were in here until, midnight? It was technically Monday morning, and then we're back here.
It's such a different week.
I know.
I don't mind this setup.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. I can get used to this.
Yeah. More games, less everything else.
Not that any of you care about us, but we're people, too. Monday's nothing. Tuesday's a long day, which is weird because Tuesday, I mean, you don't see a player inside Lambeau Field on Tuesday. Like, that's the go home, do not do anything. That's the one day you get to live life in the season. And then Wednesday is Saturday. Tomorrow's Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday is Sunday, obviously. So it's all very truncated. But when you think about it, you got game. And that's I think we would all agree that's a fun part of the job, right? We all enjoy the games. Game Sunday, game Thursday, 3 days in between, 2 days – of not having to be here, and then one long day Tuesday. I could get used to that life.
It's not bad, except that it jams all that stuff that we have to do for the weekend into Tuesday. And I'm not complaining. I mean, no, I don't mind it. No, plus, I like the potential 3-day weekend too.
Now you know who hates it. Players.
Yeah, players.
There's not a single player that's going to say. Although I do wonder if this is the type of week where, given what Sunday was. And, I mean, I think that there euphoria would be a fair term to describe what Sunday was for this franchise. If there's ever a time you're like, okay, let's just go play someone else, maybe this is the week. But physically, they don't enjoy it.
I think I would want, if I were a player, I would want a Thursday game early on because later in the year, that's got to just hurt. You know, you're all banged up. I mean, they had a nice break before the season opener, you know, with the week – of really no game or anything from training camp, and their bodies are probably as fresh as they're going to be all year. Mm-hmm. So if there's a time to do it, it's this year. It's this week, probably.
Yeah. They're going to hate the Thanksgiving turnaround much.
Yeah.
Much more.
That's much worse. And it's on turf.
It's a great point, though, because that was something I asked Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs specifically in the locker room. It's like, are you being tested more mentally or physically? They said right now it's more mental because you'd rather play these games early back-to-back like this in week one and two. So
it'll be the flip answer, I guarantee you, come November
for
Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It'll be the exact opposite. It'll be the physical test later in the season.
Especially when you throw in like Josh Jacobs. He brought up the point, like right now it's more passing offense. He's like, not surprised teams are loading the box defensively to take away the run. But as the season wears on, it gets a little bit more colder in Green Bay, and they get more just – even more comfortable, you're going to see some more of that run game. So he said, yeah, I'll probably be a little bit more sore later on throughout the season. But, you know, you go off a big game against Detroit, but that's in the rearview mirror because you got the Washington Commanders coming in, a team that really took on the NFL world by storm last year under the stellar play of Jaden Daniels as a rookie. They made it to the NFC Championship for the first time since 1991. I wasn't even alive yet.
Yeah.
I wasn't born. I'm 92.
I covered them in the Super Bowl that year.
Did you?
I used to cover all the Super Bowls, and they were in the Super Bowl in 90. I believe it was 91.
Yeah.
It was the Hogs, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. So I was not even thought of at that time, but that was
back. That was before. The Hogs were in the 80s.
Okay.
You know, when they had John Riggins and they had deep butts and the monstrous offensive line.
Clearly, I was very young then, too.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So, but now you get into this team. I mean, they have pretty much the bulk of the roster from a team that won the games that they did and made it to the NFC Championship last year, played the Giants, you know, won 21-6. The offense kind of took them a minute to get in rhythm. And a lot of penalties. That was one thing I saw. They had 12 penalties in that game. Yeah. But when you look at this Washington team, and then I'll go to you, Ryan, next, just, you know, what have been your thoughts on the group and just what the Packers will deal with?
Defensively, they really got after Russell Wilson. I mean, they were really – their front four was really good. put a lot of pressure on him. I don't think, I mean, they got down, the Giants got down inside the red zone twice, and including once, I think, on first and goal at the one, and they couldn't score a touchdown. So their front four was extremely active, and they're going to have to be well aware. They're pretty deep too. They can run like six guys in there. So that'll be a deal for the Packers offensive line, especially if Zach Tom or Aaron Banks can't play. And then offensively, they ran for 220 yards. You know, they traded Brian Robinson, you know, to 49. Rams. Whatever, they traded him, and they bring out this rookie from Arizona, seventh-round pick, and he looks pretty good. And they run for 220 yards, and Daniels had 11 for 68. So they're a good team, and I think the Packers are going to have their hands full with this one, especially coming off, you know, such an emotional and physical game against the Lions.
Here's my question. I'll direct this to you, Spoon. Are you sure that you couldn't get after Russell Wilson at this point in his career?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
I see some bull rushes, man. I think I can see it.
I mean, I know I'm quick, but no, I mean, Russell Wilson's still a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback, and they got Malik Nabers, and they shut him down. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants stink. They do. Yeah, they do. I mean, there's no question about it. But
and Russ looks old to me. He looks old.
Does he?
Yeah. I just, you know, he just can't move like he used to.
Yeah.
It's very different.
I don't know. But I still think, you know, hardly anyone plays well in week one. And for whatever reason, the Packers played really well, especially defensively. Now, offensively, there were still some things that, you know, they weren't great. But they were good enough. Defensively, they were great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Washington now has a little bit of an idea what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to just pound it up the middle like Detroit did. I think that was Detroit's plan, and they thought they were going to get away with it, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, Daniels, who can push, you know, can spread you out because of, you know, his run option stuff. Yeah. I think it'll be a little bit different.
Yeah, he can play. I mean, yeah, what, close to 900 rushing yards last season, 6 touchdowns, 68 rushing yards, as you mentioned, against that Giants game.
Yeah.
He's the guy, like, you have to watch out for him. Yeah, you have Zach Ertz, a really good tight end, Deebo Samuel. You know, like, they have a lot of weapons, but
Terry McLaurin
as well. And, yeah, that Ja'Cory Merritt. That rookie,
that's the rookie running back.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of weapons on this team. You know, what are you wanting to see, Ryan? Or just what are you curious to see about the Packers defense and how they handle Daniels and company?
I think this is team-wide for me. But, you know, we started by saying, and I think rightly so, that so much as Sunday, there was this euphoric feel that this team came out of the tunnel with, right? And I'm wondering now because, okay, you're not introducing Micah Parsons for the first time. You're not Jordan Love going out there, taking the opening drive, feeling no pain in your legs in a game for the first time since God knows when and actually feeling good. This is a second game. The euphoria is not going to be matched like it was Sunday. I'm wondering how much of that hot start was euphoria and how much they're just that good. Now, I have to think that adrenaline rush had something to do with it, but I don't know how much it did or didn't. That's going to be very interesting to me. As far as the Commanders go, and I like that's a good team. I picked them to win the NFC East. I think they're a really good team. But the biggest question to me, because I just covered Jordan Love's second season as a starter last year, and I watched a fair number of Texans games with C.J. Stroud, that sophomore slump of a starting quarterback in the second year is very real. Now defensive coordinators have all the game film to use to craft a game plan specifically designed and tailored to exploit your weaknesses. You can't hide in the NFL. They're exposed. That Jeff Hafley's going to have that. Whoever they play in week three, they're going to have that. That's a gauntlet that Jaden Daniels is going to have to get through. And it's not like that team is all Jaden Daniels, but if you saw that playoff run last year, until the NFC Championship game, a lot of it was Jaden Daniels. A lot of it was a uber-talented kid, a rookie, that just got caught fire, caught lightning in a bottle, and the Lions didn't have an answer for him. You know, they just – the Bucs didn't have an answer for him. You could not defend the guy. Now there's a lot more information to be able to do that. I think that's the big question for Washington this season.
Yeah. Is there anything from the Packers defensively that you'll be interested in seeing how they handle things?
Yeah. Well, you know, what stood out to me in the game, going back and looking at it, is just the speed of the defense, and particularly with Walker and Cooper, able to cover sideline to sideline. But even, you know, even at the corners, they're pretty quick. You know, their ends pursue really hard. If Micah Parsons plays like he played Sunday, if he plays like that every down, then their defense is going to be pretty incredible, because you have Gary playing that way, you have Parsons playing that way, Van Ness pretty much plays that way. You know, Wyatt is a guy who plays really hard. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of pursuit, and I think they have the linebackers to be able to kind of keep Daniels from just running the option on him all day long. But, you know, I agree. I think if they were jacked up and they were ready to play physical and they knew Detroit was going to just try to ram it down their throats, and they had a simple game plan, and they did it. Now, let's see what, you know, Washington, Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he's a really good coordinator. Let's see what he comes up with.
You know, I asked Micah Parsons a question, almost verbatim, that I've asked for years when, you know, going back to Russell Wilson, young Russell Wilson, right? And, you know, guys that, quarterbacks that can kill you with their legs and with the arm, how do you rush that guy? And specifically, I asked Micah Parsons, does that kind of make you pick and choose how you rush? I mean, you think back to last year, this Packers defense. The one thing this defense fronted very well was contain rush. Like, Kyler Murray had 14 yards on 7 carries. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts never really, in 2 games, beat him with his legs. They could contain rush. But that's different than just, like, pinning your hair back and go get the guy, right? I mean, it's just different. And I asked Micah Parsons. He said he gave me an answer that I've never heard before. He said, it depends on the type of guys you've got. With me, I don't see anybody outrunning me off the edge. So, no. He's right. Like, when you have a guy like that, he's one of the only guys that you can go against the Jaden Daniels and be like, okay, just go get him, because he can actually run with him. There's not a lot of guys that play that position in this league that can run with a Jaden Daniels. Micah Parsons is one. I asked Carl Brooks, how much does that help knowing you got one on the field and that he can? And he's like, it absolutely does. You just, you know, you got to focus on your matchup. You don't have to worry about all the other lanes. You just focus on what you're doing. You know that he can take care of his business. I mean, it's a big benefit. So how they rush Jaden Daniels will be very interesting to me, because the automatic answer is, yeah, contain rush. Just don't let him beat you with the legs. And that is a priority. But it doesn't mean that they have to necessarily rush that way either with Micah Parsons.
It's true. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating how they'll balance, like, how they'll blitz, what stunts will they run. But, you know, playing those lanes, it's just like a lot of that assignment football mm-hmm. that's going to be crucial for this defense, and not have any of that, I think, what you call the word leakage as well. I think that was the word that you would use with the, as far as, like, not letting anything break.
Can you do the assignment fast mm-hmm. is the question. Because a lot of times when you contain rush, you're just kind of – you're hanging there, right? You just, okay, my assignment. Can you do the assignment and go? Maybe they can. I'll be curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the Giants have a great front four, or at least 3 really good pass rushers with Abdul Carter, the rookie,
mm-hmm.
and Thibodeau outside, and then Dexter Lawrence. So – they could get after him, and, you know, Daniels negated that. They didn't really, you know, Laremy Tunsil's their left tackle, and he's going to go one-on-one on. They're going to put him on Parsons one-on-one, you know, and anytime he's on that side. Not every time, but, you know, they're familiar. And so I think that'll be, you know, kind of interesting to see whether they can get that pressure with just 4 men.
You know, the other thing with Jaden Daniels, you mentioned the Giants. They sacked him 3 times. I mean, you go back and look at his career, he'll give up some sacks, you know, because
he wants to throw the ball.
He wants to stand
in the pocket.
And he's a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. And with young quarterbacks, I think we all agree, one of the best things that Jordan Love came in 2023 and was just able to do right off the bat was he had that sense for the pressure. I mean, he doesn't take sacks. That's pretty rare for young quarterbacks. Look at Caleb Williams in Chicago. Good God, he's still trying to figure that out, right? You have these guys that are really talented, really athletic, can beat you with their legs. They want to use that. That's kind of their comfort zone. And I think you see that with Jaden Daniels sometimes. He knows he's really athletic. He knows he's fast. He wants to throw the ball downfield. He wants to buy that time, and he will give up sacks because of that. That's something I think he'll have to work through as well.
Yeah. Something that I'm curious about, we kind of briefly mentioned some of the injuries with the Packers, but more than anything, yeah, you know, you can – curious about like a Nate Hobbs of the world or a Jaden Reed and some of these guys. But I'm really curious about the offensive line because of how well that group played against the Lions. And, you know, in some of those reps, like Darian Kennard came in at tackle and did a good job for Zach Tom. But if he has to be the full starter for this game, if Tom can't go because of an oblique, I'm just curious about, you know, what that O-line is going to look like. What are, you know, your thoughts on just how they'll attack it or if they have enough depth to withstand it?
They didn't do it in the game, but I wonder if they would consider moving Jordan Morgan to right tackle. It's not really his spot, but he can, you know, he can protect, and he's playing right guard. He knows how to, he knows right tackle. Mm-hmm. That would be one way to get your five best guys. I'm not sure why they didn't do it in the game. I suspect it was because, you know, they had this good rotation going, and they felt good about that.
Banks was
and
out.
They wanted to. What's that?
Banks was out. That might have had something to
yeah,
do with
it. Yeah, that could have had something to do with it. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he did
go down. Exactly. You're right. Tom went out first, though,
right.
And then they still went with Kennard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just weren't ready to do it, but I bet you that Morgan might be taking some snaps at right tackle. We'll see how that goes.
I just wonder, given the how Kennard looked, if the Packers feel like they need to do that. Like, I could see if they...
Yeah, maybe they don't.
If they start Kennard and he doesn't look like he did Sunday, then maybe they resort to that.
Right.
I could see. But, I mean, if you're them, you just saw what Darian Kennard did, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
There was no problem there. He came in at right tackle and looked just fine. So I would be surprised if that's what they were already kind of starting with from that philosophy. Based on what would they have wanted to change that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I also think there's a chance both those guys could play. I mean, if Zach Tom never went to the locker room, he was riding a bike, he's just trying to get loose.
Banks didn't either.
Banks said it wasn't bad. I don't know. There's a chance they could both play.
I'm sure Matt LaFleur will tell us all.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to get that?
I'm sure he will. Yeah.
Just call him right now during the pod and say, like, hey.
Hey, Matt, what do you think?
How's it going? But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup with the Commanders' defense because Ivan wrote down they only allowed 74 rushing yards in that game. And Deron Payne, he had two sacks.
Great game.
He's a really talented guy.
And Dietrich Wise had a really good game. You know, and then they got Bobby Wagner. And then they bring Von Miller off the, you know, he can rush off the edge too. They got the potential to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so it is. It's just going to be an intriguing matchup. I do want to circle back real quick to Kennard because I know you talked to him. Was there any takeaways or impressions on, you know, what he said in the locker room when
he was doesn't say much.
Not too much.
Like, if you like a no-nonsense guy who just goes out and plays football, you like Darian Kennard. Now, let me make this fair, because I have no dislike for Darian Kennard. He's been nothing but professional, but I like a guy that might, you know, say a few things. So not the most quotable guy, but he's a no-nonsense pro, and I got to think that's probably helped him in this transition, right? I mean, he's a guy that he said he's been staying at the facility since the trade till 8 p.m. every night, just learning the scheme. It looked like he had it. I mean, he looked really, really well. The other thing with Darian Kennard, if he does have to play, he is coming from the NFC East. He knows the Washington Commanders fairly well. Now, he's still learning the Packers scheme, and that does make a difference when you might know the Commanders in the Philadelphia Eagles scheme, but it's different on how you want to attack a guy with the Packers scheme, right? So that's the big – but he knows the Commanders' personnel pretty well, and that helps on a short week as well.
Yeah, so you said he's not going to give you a lot with quotes, so he's no Parsons right now.
He's no Micah Parsons.
He's been very quotable. I will say he's
very quotable.
Very.
Yeah, his podcast hasn't been running, right? Has it? Has he ever been on his podcast?
I don't know.
Back on his podcast? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I'm a big podcast listener, and I haven't checked, so I actually feel ashamed about that. I've had it in my mind I should check, but I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. I didn't get to ask you. Was there anything from – did you get to listen to Parsons
at
all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Some of the takeaways for you?
Yeah, I think he knows that he helps set the tone for them. And he's accepting that responsibility that he's needs to set the tone. And I think if he can keep playing the way he did, and I mean by effort, I'm not saying he wasn't an effort guy in Dallas, but, you know, he picked and chose his spots. Everybody I talked to about him said he did that, you know, which many stars do. But he played with his pants on fire on Sunday, and if they can keep him doing that, then that's going to, you know, that's going to inspire others to do it. Although I actually think they help inspire him too, because that they played hard. Everybody on that defense played fast and hard. So
they do. So it was just, I guess for me, because we talked about it, like the blockbuster trade was made official. We're in a podcast, like just having a podcast talking about what his impact could do. But I guess for me, it was fascinating to get a little glimpse of that, because you saw Edrin Cooper flying around. You saw Evan Williams getting interceptions. You saw Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness being very active in play. So, you know, what was there anything that I guess stood out when you watched him, or maybe as a flip side, how surprised were you to see the amount of snaps that he had in the first game? And do you think they might even ramp it up even more from, you know, his conversation?
I wasn't terribly surprised, because I just, and I don't know this because I'm not in the medical room, but I just haven't this entire time thought that the back is a major issue. I think the much bigger issue.
Are we talking about it anymore?
Yeah, no.
Right? Is it an issue? Right. Did he get an epidural on Sunday? No.
No. I think the bigger issue is that he didn't have training camp, and so there's a football shape that that's real. But the back's not real.
You could see it at the end. He was gassed.
Yes, he was.
Well, you know what?
He was really huffing and puffing.
The thing we didn't talk about with his sack, and I get it, it's Jared Goff. It's a little different if it had been Jaden Daniels. But it was fourth quarter. And that was the chase down. I was like, you want to talk about a gasser, Micah? How much was that mind over matter? And they said, oh, yeah, I was feeling it there. I mean, the speed he showed, what was it? Next Gen had him at like 18 miles an hour or something. And this dude hasn't been in training camp. He's not in football shape, and he's that fast. You have to wonder how fast will he be when he is in football shape in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought with Micah Parsons, what stood out to me today, because since he's gotten here, he has gone out of his way to – extend compliments to his new teammates. I mean, he might as well be Lucas Van Ness's agent. Like there's the biggest Lucas Van Ness fan in the world has been Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And he said today, I thought it was really telling, where it's so important to him to win the room. It's so important to him to, because he's aware, he's a really smart guy. He knows that he is new, and he knows that the price tag on his head,
he's paid.
And there's a certain expectation for that. And you can come in and you can act like you own the place because of that. You absolutely can act like that, right? Or you can be, okay, I got to be one of the guys. Like, I want to win. This locker room culture is important. I have to set that tone, and it starts with gaining respect and earning trust. And that's the way he's gone about it. Mm-hmm. It publicly, he's pulled guys aside in terms of 3 or 4 minutes here and there. Hey, let's go shoot some hoops in the facility, getting to know guys. He put Edrin Cooper on his fantasy team. I mean, he's gone out of his way to ingratiate himself. And he said it very clearly today. It's been very intentional for him to do it that way, because he understands that that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, that was really fascinating to hear those comments. And because that was even like as a follow-up ask, like, was it important for you to feel like you had to come in and put your arms around the guys? He said, yeah. He said, this is their organization. It's not mine. He said, I'm joining that brotherhood. So it was fascinating to hear those comments.
Boy, and 188 million, he owns a pretty good chunk of it.
He does.
That's true.
He does. But with that said, he also knows that this team gave up something for him to be here. So in terms of – and I think – look, we'll see what happens when adversity strikes, because it's been gravy train here since he got paid.
It's the honeymoon.
He's on a team he knows he can win with. He is now worshipped in an entire state. He's the last run out of the tunnel. It's been gravy train. Adversity comes for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's when you really know what a guy is made of.
That's it.
But he, in terms of keeping him playing with his hair on fire, he said, I know what this team gave up for me to be here. I know what they're paying me to go do that. And I do think that that can, for the right guy, be a great motivator as well.
It's true. I've never been married, but I heard when the honeymoon phase is over, that's when the real work starts. So that's just what I've heard.
Allegedly. All right, Dr. Phil. I like it.
Allegedly.
I like it, Dr.
Should I do my Dr. Phil impression? When you're not married. I'm not even going to try it.
Yeah, I bet you could be a dead ringer there.
Yeah, we'll try Kentucky. It. Yeah, right. As we wrap things up, though, is there any final words from you guys you're curious about? Or even, you know, we didn't even touch special teams. But, again, they have a good punter, good kicker, good long snapper. They do have some penalties that they need to check in on, because that was the bulk of the penalties from the Packers. What they had, what, four or five penalties?
Mostly special teams.
And it was mostly special teams. But any final thoughts or words from you there?
I've never – we touched on it a little bit, but I'm never sure whether special teams penalties are legitimate or not. They just get thrown all the time. But, you know, the Packers just seem to have too many. So, yeah, they got to cut that down. But my final thoughts are, you know, it's a big opportunity. And they're – they have to take advantage of it to face two NFC teams, two contenders at home in, you know, 4 days. You can't let those kind of things get away from you. So if you start 2-0 like that, and then you got Cleveland and Dallas, it just helps your season immensely.
Yeah.
Start 2-0. So they got to take this one really, really seriously.
You know,
not that they wouldn't. But.
Right.
They're starting 2-0, and then they're starting 2-0. To your point, like, could you pick a better way to start 2-0 than two home games, beat the Lions, division rival, the team you've hunted the last couple of years, and then beat the team that was in the NFC Championship game where you were hoping to go this year? That is – you know, you want to couch it because it's 2 weeks, and you're only as good as your next game, but that's a big – type of statement to make early.
It's just
in the
kind of thing, like 16 weeks from now, you're like, whew,
yeah,
you know,
oh,
the thing they won those, you know, they're like saying, good thing we won those first two games.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the tiebreakers come in, or you suddenly go into a slump or something like that, you still have those two games.
How many times do you see early season games in September mean something once it comes to late December and January because of those tiebreakers? So, yeah, no, I agree. You know, I was asked today if anything I saw from Sunday changed my mind about this team. I said no, because I was pretty bullish on this team coming into the year. I had them 12-5 before the Parsons trade, and then I have them officially 13-4 because I have thought that this team, and this is based on projection, right? It's based on the idea that this team's going to get better. The reason why I think that is because they have this really dangerous combination that every team in the league wants of youth and experience. You know, just because they're young, don't say they're inexperienced. This young team has been to the playoffs the last 2 years. They've got a ton of big game reps under their belt. And you expect that sort of team with that sort of makeup to take a jump. I've expected that. And then they add Micah Parsons. And now you see them, and they don't just beat the Lions. They clobber them pretty good. And so that's the question now. The euphoria is not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be matched. You have a really, really talented quarterback come to town. Really solid team. Was in the NFC Championship game last year. Short week. Can you ratchet that up again and take care of business again? I think they will. I had them come into the season winning these two games. I think that they're going to handle business. I think that's what they're made of, and we'll find out.
I did too. But so it is. It's going to be fascinating to see how this early part of the season continually plays out and see how they'll keep trending. Will they keep trending upward or not? Because it was fascinating. Like I said, I know it's week one, but it's been fascinating to watch some of the other games around the league, including the Vikings and the Bears.
Good God.
And I mean, if you're the Packers, you should feel better about where you're starting compared to some of those teams. Granted, every team is going to get better, but at least starting the year, they should feel better.
You know, this is taboo to say on a Packers podcast, but I am woefully disappointed in the Bears. I will go on record. I want to see the Bears actually be competitive because, one, it's a Chicago football franchise. It's good for the league when the Chicago football franchise is competitive. Two, it's good for the rivalry. Like, this rivalry has sucked for a while now. And not for you, Mr. Mrs. Packers fan. It's been great for you. But, like, does beating the Bears have the same feeling it had a decade ago? No, it doesn't. So, what a colossal train wreck of an opener for the Chicago Bears and Ben Johnson. That was a joke.
Was it worse than John Harbaugh's debut, a Super Bowl winning coach who has a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter and loses?
Oh, give me a history lesson. Give me a history lesson here.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it was a tough loss for the Bears at home, but it, you know, it happened to a really good established organization too. So, again, it's week one, and it was a good win for Minnesota. You know, they figured out how to do it. And Aaron Jones, of course, is the hero at the end with the touchdown catch. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Bears. We'll see them.
Show me.
For a while.
Yeah, so that's going to be the key. So, at least for now, you'll get to see what could be another big game here in Lambeau Field Thursday night football, prime time. And it's a lot of eyes that'll be on this game once again, especially with two teams 1-0 and teams that want to try to make a run to a Super Bowl. And so it'll be a big game. And, you know, Jordan Love, I had the numbers, but he plays well in these Thursday night prime time games. And you get it in Lambeau Field, so it'll definitely be a battle. So that's all I got for this podcast. We'll do it again in like 48 hours or something like that after the game. You guys are going to be tired of continually talking to me and taking all these questions.
I never get tired of talking to you, Dom.
That's a good way to end this.
Okay.
Spoon says
just
quiet.
Cut that. Yeah. No comment.
I know. He's done too many road trips with me since I've been here and my music taste.
I got a no comment from Josh Jacobs today. I asked him, he was saying how Romeo Doubs talks a whole lot more around, you know, behind the scenes than he does in the media. He knows funny. He doesn't say much in the media. And he's like, he's actually funny too. And I'm like, all right. And I kind of put him on the spot. I was like, all right, what's your funniest Romeo Doubs story? And he just starts laughing. He's like, no comment, no comment. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's like trying to just blow up Romeo Doubs' personality or if it's like really off the rails and he can't share it.
It's interesting, but yeah, to hear that Romeo Doubs is like talkative and funny is like me saying I'm tall with a good head of hair. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't say that.
You don't?
No.
Well, you need to start. You need to be my Josh Jacobs and tell
be your
everyone.
Micah Parsons. You'd be my Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah. That's right. Tell everyone I'm tall with a great head of hair. So that's a good way to wrap up this podcast.
Not really.
Spoon is like, what the hell is happening
let's
here?
Land this thing.
Yes. Yes. This is my issue. I don't know how to wrap things up.
I'm hard to handle. I understand.
That's it. Thank you all so much for checking out the Green 19 podcast. We will be right back in a couple of days after the Packers take on the Commanders. It's Thursday night, 7:15. Should be a good one. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.